Husky Stadium, brought to you, of course, by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
Flicked on and flicked in!
There we go, the Sounders tonight against Lyon in the League's Cup Championship, the inaugural tournament. Jackson Felt's waiting his whole life for a moment like this tonight. Will he or will he not be fully clothed by 7 p.m. this evening?
Nope.
League's Cup Championship in Vegas, 7 o'clock kickoff tonight. You'll hear the game live right here on 950 KJR.
My take on goalkeeping is keep the damn ball out of the back of the net.
Derrick Henry has been named AFC Offensive Player of the Week after his monster second half against the Hawks. Kyler Murray has won the award in the NFC.
You know, I thought about this today. I'm really pissed off about the Seahawks losing on Sunday to the Titans. You know why? Because if they would have lost, we could have played over and over again that clip. King Henry, why are you looking so sad?
Yeah, exactly.
We could have played that over and over again, but the Seahawks freaking blew it. They blew it. What else we got? Mariners win last night, get to 82-69. Game 3 of 4 against the A's this evening. Chris Flexen versus Cole Irvin. The Mariners currently 2.5 games back on a wild card because the Rays have already beaten the Blue Jays today. UW getting some news today. 4-star running back Emeka Megwa from Fort Worth enrolling at UW, and he is eligible, if he wants, to play in the game on Saturday versus California. Get the Petros Papadakis right now.
It's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis.
Not that I'm a smart guy, I'm stupid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
41 yards.
If you're hurt in an accident, call Sweet James right away at 800-500-5200. Sweet James will be sweet to you, but tough on insurance companies that will bully you.
Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Ushalam.
Now with Petros, here's Dave Softy Muller.
Losers.
Every Wednesday at 4:05, we got a chance to talk to the Prince of Pigskin in Southern California, baby. One half of the famous Petros and Money Show, Petros Papadakis. Every week on this radio station, brought to you by
Sweet James Bergener at 800-500-5200, the dense beard of justice, the greatest personal injury attorney that ever lived. He'll take care of you, awarded best attorneys in America, because he doesn't like it when insurance companies take advantage of people just like you. He'll get you the compensation you deserve, the medical care, get your car fixed, even if a dog bites your balls or you're attacked by a barbecue frame. Sweet James at 800-500-5200.
Hey, man, I was impressed by what we pulled off over the weekend.
I'm proud of you and your lovely wife. Well, SweetJames.com.
We carried Gina and I carried a frame for an outdoor barbecue. You know, imagine in your mind's eye kind of one of those, island kitchens type thing, whatever. But there's a frame for it, you know, for the insert, for the barbecue. And we had to carry it from our garage up to our deck, which is two flights of stairs, through the house, out the door. And we are still married.
Nice.
We are still married. Live to tell about it.
Three-story house there.
Me and my three-story house. Hey, this is coming from a guy who lives in a multi-million-dollar compound in California. So you can suck it, man. Come on.
Well, define multi-million.
Worth more than $1 million. Hey, speaking of a million, man, how about your boy Dante Williams getting it done against Wazoo, putting the hammer down on the Cougs in the second half? Everybody's talking about Urban Meyer and Bill O'Brien and James Franklin. Nobody's talking about Dante full-time as the next coach at USC. How about it?
Well, why do you think no one's talking about that?
I don't know. You tell us.
Why do you think that they would hire the interim as a non-coordinator and a guy who's just a really good recruiter, who's known as a really good recruiter and not play caller or program builder? Why do you think they would do that?
All people need is a chance in life, Petros.
Okay.
It's all you need.
Well, I think USC's gone down the road of hiring interim coaches far too many times, and that has led to this football post-apocalyptic world that they are in. I think Dante Williams is great. I think what will happen in a perfect world is whatever program builder, proven program builder and head coach that USC hires, that they would keep Dante Williams for a couple of years and whether they like him in a couple years, then get rid of him, or if they like him, keep him on. But I think they would like to keep him on the staff with whoever takes over. But I think that's the best you can ask for. And I think what they did was what they were expected to do. USC is still the most talented team in the conference, player for player. And they went up to Pullman and they beat the second worst team in the conference.
Who's the worst?
Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So
just checking.
I mean, and I look, I've been on teams, bad USC teams, that you go up to Pullman and they lock the door behind you in Martin Stadium. And in the first quarter, they go up 14 or something. And the place is rocking. And you hear the, you know, whenever they get a first down. And or on third down or whatever they do. First down, you know, that's the first down thing. And you kind of look around and you get a little freaked out. You see that your parents didn't make the trip. The band is barely there. You feel alone. And back in those days, the turf was hard and we played them late. You know, it was cold. And then around mid-first quarter, you go, wait. You know, we're bigger and stronger and faster than these guys. Let's eat them up. And you end up winning the game by 30. So I'd been through that up there before with these same two schools. The way that it happened was obviously interesting. How Keaton Slovis goes down, and then a guy that looked a lot like Sam Darnold when he started playing in a different offense, obviously, came out and had, I think, a pick, a fumble, a failed drive, and then right at the end of the half, he threw a touchdown, and then he didn't look back from there. Jackson
turned it
Dart.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to play this week. I'm calling the USC-Oregon State game this week. I'm not sure. I think they're going to go back to Slovis because I don't know if Dart is right from the knee or whatever's wrong with him. So we'll see what happens there. But it was an interesting game, but I wouldn't make too much of it. I think you're trying to troll me a little
bit.
I'm
not trying to troll anybody. I just think that sometimes the best answer and sometimes the obvious answer is right underneath your nose. And you
Luke
stop.
Fickell.
You got to stop
that's
and
the
see it.
The obvious guy is Luke Fickell. Well, everybody talking about all these other coaches like Bill O'Brien and people like that. The one guy that Mike Bone knows is Luke Fickell.
Well, he hired him.
Yeah, and presumably and Mike Bone is the AD at USC. Presumably he was hired not to hire the interim coach again as the AD. Yeah. So let's just be, you know, realistic.
You got Oregon State USC this weekend. We do a little thing called Fact or Fiction every day at 3:35 on the radio show. And my pick this week was USC minus the points against Oregon State. And then John Wilner came on yesterday with his Wilner's winner, and he picked Oregon State plus the points. So I know you're calling the game, and technically you're not supposed to pick a side.
I'll talk about it.
Okay, well, I mean, who's got the better pick? Me and the Trojans or Johnny and the Beavs?
I don't know what the points are.
11.5.
Okay, well, I don't pay attention.
That's a lie.
I really don't.
You absolutely pay attention. And you know what? If you're not paying attention, you should be paying attention.
Liar!
We can talk about these things now. It's no longer taboo.
No, I know.
People right?
People make me pay attention. Yeah. You know, like in my ear, the producer will be like, "That's the over." You know, like I mean, everybody around me, but it's just never been a point. It's never been a point of emphasis for me at all.
All right, who's got the better pick?
Well, I would say this. Oregon State has not won at USC since, in the Coliseum since, 1960.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 61 years ago. It's a long time.
Yeah. And but they won the first two in the 30s. They came down. And the closest the last time they got was 01, an overtime game with Pete Carroll and Carson Palmer scored on a keeper in the tunnel side, and that's the closest the Beavs came. I was a sideline radio guy, and that got USC to 3-5 that year, believe it or not, which was Pete Carroll's first year at USC. So that's the closest they ever get, and it is an intimidating place for them to play. Over the years, it just has been. But I would say that the Beavs are not suffering from the same offensive woes that a lot of people in our conference, Huskies, are facing right now?
They scored 52 points on Saturday.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Against who?
Arkansas State.
Okay. Great.
You're not buying it?
No, not yet. But hey, win the rest. Come on. Let's just say this about Oregon State. They fell down the same path that Stanford did this year with Jack West, having to replace him with Tanner McKee, and then the offense took off. It just happened at Utah. They got rid of Charlie Brewer, and then he just left the program.
He quit.
Which was a misread by me. And the other guy, Rising, I think is his name.
Cam Rising. He's a transfer himself.
Right. So he became the guy. And
you know what his nickname is, by the way?
What?
Bad Moon.
I get it. So then he took over. So three teams have made a quarterback change, and then the offense changed. The Beavs made the change the earliest at the half at Purdue. And since then, I mean, I think they've had 19 drives with Chance as the quarterback, and Chance Nolan has had, out of those 19 drives, something like 15 scores and 13 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, now I'm starting to regret my pick a little bit here.
Like, jeez, they're moving the ball. And they don't. The most impressive thing is they don't have a Jamar Jefferson or a Hodgkins or any game-breaking guy. They are doing it with play calling and with O-line play and as a team. And Nolan has been really accurate. And Slovis is going to start, not the kid whose body was alive that took over. Slovis has not been right since A.J. Epinesa knocked him out of the Holiday Bowl like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And A.J. Epinesa just knocked Tua Tagovailoa out of the early NFL season too at the next level. And if I was the Beavs, I'd drop eight. I'd drop eight and let him try to pick it out. Let him try to pick his way down the field. That's how I would handle it. But you see a lot of teams go into the Coliseum and they're just wide-eyed and gun-shy. So we'll see how it plays out.
All right, break down UW-Cal. UW-Cal this weekend, Huskies put up 52 on the mighty Arkansas State Red Wolves from the fabled Sun Belt Conference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we're being honest, they did what they were supposed to do. So
right.
Let's see him go back it up this weekend against the Bears. What do you make of the UW-Cal matchup?
None of it would matter. It might be a debacle because of the way the coordinators, particularly on both offensive sides of the ball on this matchup, have called games. And I know Cal just beat up on Sac State. But I called Cal's first game, and I was like, wow, Musgrave has lost the thread of this one. It just felt like it. And they ended up losing the game with at least five or six offensive opportunities to take the lead down the stretch and just were not able at home against a Mountain West defense to generate anything. And I think Garbers is a lot better quarterback, but I don't know if they're ever going to get a real play-calling rhythm with the way things are going at Cal. It feels a lot like the way Washington is calling plays and doing things. At least it felt like that before they hit a part of the season that they're supposed to win until they get to conference play.
Well, we saw a lot of new wrinkles against the Red Wolves, which makes you wonder where the hell they were the previous 2 weeks, but sounds to me like you're not. Whatever your concerns were about UW going into Arkansas State, they haven't changed at all coming out
of that game. Well, I mean, everything would be different for Washington if they had not lost to Montana.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. It's not about Michigan. It's about that opening season loss and them not being ready to take the field, it seemed, to start the season. And then you go to Michigan and you get beat. Okay. And now you beat the Red Wolves. There's still a tremendous amount to prove.
Yep.
And if they can dominate Cal for three quarters and coast or maybe even four quarters, then you start to feel like, okay, Jimmy's got his bearings and the ship feels like it's starting to be righted at UW. But I don't believe in the quarterback. I haven't seen. I don't know.
Well, you know,
I mean, you do. I know he's got like, no, I don't know what it is. Maybe he helped you move that barbecue or something. Did that kid come over and trade Star Wars guys with you or something?
They're called collectibles.
Okay. I guess some of them are girls. But I'm just saying, I don't get it. What do you like about him?
You don't get why people like Dylan Morris?
Who likes him other than you?
He's a nice guy.
I'm sure he is. I mean, I got nothing against him, is it?
Well,
I'm just saying the offense has left a lot to be desired, and it's not like he's the only quarterback on the roster.
I don't think it's been his fault in the first three games of the year. I think it's mostly the offensive line. Second of all, receivers. Play calling certainly has been a part of it. There's no question about it. And I got news for you, pal. We found out, I think, on Saturday against Arkansas State that Patrick O'Brien is not even the second string guy.
There has been in a drunk.
It's Sam Heward. Sam Heward was the first one off the bench during the rout in the fourth quarter. So Sam Heward's the backup right now. Are you going to put a five-star freshman in there right away that was playing high school football 6 months ago? I don't think Dylan Morris is a Heisman Trophy contender, but I do think he's the best option right now at UW.
I don't know. Let's see how it goes against Cal. Sometimes you make a change, and on these other three teams, the change has ignited the offense. It happened at Stanford. No one's complaining about their offense. They just went to Vandy and kicked their ass. It happened at Utah, albeit in a losing effort. They came all the way back against a tough San Diego State team and had triple overtime. And it's happened at Oregon State. That guy can't miss right now, Chance Nolan. So I'm just giving you examples from around the conference. You know, no big deal. You don't have to take my advice.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, if he struggles, I know they're not afraid to pull the plug.
I'm looking at the headlines here, and I'm starting to feel it. You know, Husky quarterback Dylan Morris. A hard-working, homegrown starter.
Well, Sam Heward is also a homegrown guy.
Yeah, but he's lived under the bright lights. You like this. Gives you a feel for the JC, you know. It gives you that vibe. I get it. I'm trying to figure it out because I don't know if he came over and, like, gave you his Millennium Falcon and you gave him your Hoth Rebel base. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why you're so into him.
Are you looking those up on the internet right now?
What, the Hoth Rebel base?
Did you just type in Star Wars collectibles?
No, I pulled that one out of my ass.
Oh, that's
I'm looking
good.
Up Dylan Morris.
All right.
The Spokesman Review Sports.
Yeah.
UW Football Observations. Did the Huskies backup quarterback situation just get interesting? And then there's a picture of your has-been and a drunk. Patrick O'Brien.
Your has-been and a drunk.
So there you go.
Insider on Pat O'Brien.
If they come out and they look more consistent on offense, then they look more consistent on offense, and that's great. But if they come out and they look like the same team that looked in the first couple games had you all huffy and puffy like a little teapot on the radio, then it might be time to make a change because that's really one of the only changes you can make.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's a hard thing to explain, but something magically happens to the offense. And that's it's happened at three other schools that I've tried to reiterate twice now, twice on this very interview.
Well, we'll see. Oh, we'll see. I mean, it's again, I still think he's the best answer. I don't think he's a phenomenal answer, but I think he is the best they've got for now. So we'll see. All right.
And, you know, Cal is very good in the secondary, and Wilcox can be a real bitch defensively. And your receivers are not going to get a great deal of separation. So how's Morris going to handle it?
Actually,
what's he going to do? Is he going to pull out his lightsaber?
Get off our show, fair weather idiot.
Do not disparage the tool of the Jedi on this radio program, ever.
I'm just saying.
All right. We got to run. We love you. We'll see what happens this weekend. Should be fun. Enjoy.
You know, I just thought, like, if Dylan Morris, like, something happened, like, let's say they went down, like, 14, and then all of a sudden Dylan Morris, like, somehow, like, pulled out not just a lightsaber, but the Darth Maul one that goes out on either side, I think you might faint and die just from ecstasy.
You're a has-been and a drunk.
All the blood would go to your puto, and you just, you die.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
All right, we gotta go. Enjoy the Beavs and Trojans, and we'll talk in a week.
I'm excited about it.
See you, man.
Good luck.
Petros Papadakis with us on the air. Kevin Harlan's back, 5:05 tonight. Coming up, courtesy of the Emerald Queen, right here on 950 KJR.
The Queen!
Tune in tomorrow at 9:30 for Mike Sando from The Athletic with Chuck and Buck in the Morning on your home for the 12th May JR and free on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Kevin Harlan joining us at 5:05 tonight, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. Big thanks to Petros, always with us, courtesy of SweetJames.com.
You stupid wandering Greek!
So he has not made his opinion private about Dylan Morris. He's not a fan.
No.
Not a fan of Demo whatsoever. So I'd like to go around the room, which means you and me, and talk about our faith, our confidence, our projections for Dylan Morris. As I said to Petros, I don't believe that Dylan Morris is a first-round NFL draft pick. I don't believe Dylan Morris will even play in the NFL. But I also believe that as of right now, today, and this could change in a month from now, I think he's the best option the Huskies have.
He is a serviceable Pac-12 quarterback. I think his ceiling is very low, but his ceiling is top five in the Pac-12. But his floor is pretty high. I mean, I think you're always going to get, you know what you're going to get out of him. You're not going to get these tremendous swings, you know, like the DTR type swings, where DTR looks like he's the best quarterback in the country one week and he goes 5 of 30 the next week and overthrows guys by 10 yards.
Right.
I mean, it's just like bizarre what he gives you. Dylan Morris is always, when he gets pressured, or excuse me, when he gets protection, rather, he's always going to give you a chance to win and a chance for you to move the ball. He's just not going to do anything special.
Yeah, I just I think that this is a guy that needs to be surrounded by talent. And yes. I thought, again, it's Arkansas State. It's hard for me to gauge much of what I saw last weekend. If they continue to win games and they beat Cal and they beat Stanford and they beat Oregon with Jalen and Bynum and Adunze and Taj Davis and all these guys back, can he manage all that? I think he can. I think his height is going to be a problem. You saw a pass that got batted down and picked off on Saturday against Arkansas State. I will say this, though, and maybe it's different because Jake Browning threw for 1,000 touchdowns in high school. Jake Browning, in the first 7 games of his college career, was 4-3. Dylan Morris is 4-3. Mm-hmm. Jake Browning, in the first 7 games of his college career, threw 10 touchdowns. Dylan Morris has thrown 8. Jake threw 5 picks. Dylan's thrown 8. Jake threw for 1,600 yards. Dylan's thrown for 1,783. Jake was 62%. Dylan Morris was 59%. Now, one guy, obviously, you know, played in a pro-style system in high school and put up a buttload of touchdowns in college or in high school in Sacramento. There's no question about that. But Jake Browning played early in his career as well, and the numbers weren't a lot different. Now, again, they're different quarterbacks. There's no question about that. I think Dylan Morris can be a runner at this level. I'd like to see him run a little bit more. I think it's a scrambler. It's a weapon in his bag that he's got to use. But I'm very curious to see what this guy's ceiling actually is because I don't know what it is. And I think he's a different player with these wide receivers back. Anybody would be a quarterback.
I just think the situation with Browning was a little bit different because, as you'll recall, Chris Peterson didn't really let Jake Browning do much of anything for the first half of his freshman year. I mean, 35 attempts, 24, 31, 28, 32, 30, and 24. That's an average of about 28 attempts per game. That is nothing in college football.
He threw 28 less passes than Morris has in his first 7 games. Jake Browning threw 204.
So 4 less a game.
And Dylan has thrown 232. Yeah. Yeah, it's 1 less a quarter. That's what he's done. And again, I'm not saying he's going to become Jake Browning. That's crazy because the next year Jake Browning was the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year and the Huskies are in the Final Four.
Because he had talent around him.
Exactly. He had talent around him. But can Jalen McMillan and Rome Odunze and all these other Taj Davis, can they give them what Dante Pettis and John Ross gave them?
I think you can have a more than serviceable passing attack if you get protection. And part of getting protection is to have a consistent running game. If you have to respect Richard Newton, if you have to respect the rest of those running backs, then you're going to be able to go play action. You're going to get – you have receivers now. I like Jalen McMillan. Yeah, I like what I see in Jalen McMillan. I mean,
what's not to like,
I think he could be – I mean, I think he's got the potential to be a top-notch Pac-12 wide receiver. So, I mean –
he's got 4 years left, too.
He's got 4 years left, too. I think this could be a good passing attack. I think this could be a very good rushing attack, but you got to tell me what those five up front are going to do over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, I just think for Washington to go where they want to go eventually, and maybe it happens this year, maybe it doesn't. I mean, I still think – I'm still a little rattled by what I saw 2 weeks ago against Montana.
Of course.
I mean, I haven't gotten rid of that scar. It's still healing, man. It's like Frodo in Lord of the Rings. It never really healed. It's still there. Jackson will get that reference for sure, as will the nerds in the audience. But you – the more you win, the more the scar heals. Go on a damn run. You have flushed any margin for error if you're Washington with those two games that you lost. You want to put that out of people's memory? Then do it and go win eight in a row.
Margin for error for what?
Margin for error for, I think, the confidence of the fan base.
Okay.
For sure.
Because in reality,
I mean, the
like,
Pac-12, they're in the mix. But we were talking about making a Final Four. Maybe challenging for something bigger than that. And that's not going to happen. There's no way that happens this year for UW.
And even before, you know, back to Morris, even before the game last week, you know, I wrote in my notes, I might even have put it on Twitter. I said, Dylan Morris is not the problem, but he's also not the solution. And what I mean by not the solution is Dylan Morris is, if you want to have those kind of dreams, Final Four dreams,
yeah,
Dylan Morris is not the guy to get you there.
Well, that was my point, is that if you're going to do something like that, you have to become elite at something. Elite at something. And Washington was elite defensively in 2016.
Yes.
And for a good portion of the year, they were elite through the air. And then things kind of fell apart. Maybe it's because of the opponents. Maybe Jeff Tedford taking off. I got no idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe teams figured out that if you can stop John Ross, you can stop Jake Browning. I just think that UW has got to be able to be elite at something. And I thought this year, going into the year, that they would be elite at running the ball. And that hasn't happened so far.
Their pass defense has been elite like we thought it would be.
But nobody's throwing on them. Right?
Well,
so we'll
you?
See. No, that's the whole point. That those corners, Kyler Gordon, Trent McDuffie, Buki Radley-Hiles, the safeties. Jordan Reffin made this point with Puckett the other day. They got to play run support. Those safeties are way too deep. They got to step up and play some run support. So, I mean, safeties like Jamal Adams, for example. Let's say the Seahawks are getting pounded in the ground. Teams are running the ball down their throat, and yet they're not bringing Jamal Adams up in the box. How much sense would that make? Zero. Right.
Can you ask Jimmy Lake when you talk to him about that deep safety that is literally deeper on the Washington Husky team than I think I've seen in any college or
pretty
pro
deep.
Team? There's been times when I've been watching on television and I've been like, there's only 10 guys on the field.
Yeah, because he's out of the picture.
Because he's so deep, he's out of the picture.
Yeah, meantime, Arkansas State guys are playing 7 yards off the ball and they're running it.
Exactly.
Go over the top, man. If they do that, go over the damn top, and maybe that'll change now with McMillan emerging. I'm curious to see how Cal plays this thing on Saturday. All right, we got a break. Testimonials 494-51. Lots to get to. Kevin Harlan, 505 tonight, courtesy of the Emerald Queen, right here on 950 KJR.
Tune in Sunday night for Game 1 of the preseason as the Kraken take the ice for the first time ever against the Vancouver Canucks.
This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, Kevin Harlan joins us next segment, courtesy of our friends at the Emerald Queen Casino.
You are a dirty dog.
Going to be there Sunday for the Seahawks game. Their sports book is about 3 weeks away from opening up, and it's going to be sensational. So by the time it opens up, trust me, you'll want to be there because it's going to be awesome. Anyway, Kevin Harlan coming up, matter of minutes. Everett Fitzhugh, 5:30. Jimmy Lake, 6 o'clock tonight on the radio show. Textimonials, 49451. Coors Light text line every day at this time. Dick admitting today that he had no idea up until a few days ago that he could like a text on his iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're asking you to admit something that...
Well, I knew that I could. I didn't know how to do it.
Didn't know how to do it.
Yes.
So admit something that you should be able to know how to do, but you absolutely cannot. You have no idea how to do it. Jackson, what do you got?
I don't know how to tie my shoes properly.
Ooh.
I feel like most adults don't have to retie shoes 5 or 6 times a day.
That could be a problem, by the way. You might want to see a doctor about that, because that's a pretty basic function. I mean, you're three. You're 2.5 years old when you learn how to tie your shoes. Get Velcro shoes, and you'll be just fine.
But if you never learn how to tie a double knot, see, that's the key. Like, if you don't tie a double knot, I guarantee your shoes are coming untied. If you just do it the regular bow like you learned, the rabbit ears like you learned when you were little,
right.
That's going to work for like an hour.
Yeah, I think people should know how to tie their shoes. I mean, that's pretty basic stuff. Unless you want to wear loafers your whole life, which is totally fine. I mean, you can get away with it, man. There's ways to do it.
We probably went the first about 7 years of both of our kids' life with the Velcro straps. And then we decided, you know, I know it's going to be a pain in the ass to do this, but we should probably buy some shoes with ties so we can teach them how to do it.
Tying your shoes is a metaphor for life, right? It teaches you how to be prepared for other stuff down the road. Like all those stupid math problems you took when you're geometry, things like that. How often do you really use that in real life? You never do, but it prepared you for things like this show.
That's right.
How? I have no idea.
I don't know.
All right, what's next?
I cannot scramble an egg for the life of me.
Ooh, wow. Yeah,
that's
an art.
One.
That's an art, man. Yeah, that's an art. I mean, flipping an omelet is hard to do.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, I think I know how to do it, but every now and then I'll mess it up and the omelet will fly out of the pan and land on the floor. Or into the sink or on the counter.
It's another thing I didn't learn how to do until later in life. And I thank God for YouTube now. You just get the Alexa on your counter, and they can teach you how to do anything you need to do in the kitchen right then
Totally.
And there.
Well, scrambling an egg should be – I mean, that's just – you toss in a little butter or whatever, veggie oil, whatever you use to fry it up. I don't use milk. I mean, some folks use milk on French toast to kind of, maybe get the eggs, to expand a little bit and get more for your money. But you scramble an egg, you toss it into a frying pan. You scramble it up, and when it's done, you take it out.
There you go.
What the hell? I mean, an omelet, frying an egg, sunny side up, whatever, that's an art. There's an art to that. But any meathead out there should be able to scramble an egg. I mean, come on. What's next?
I can't use a can opener.
Ooh, yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. It's hard to learn how to turn that knob until it stops.
You just got to get it to pop. Once you get it to pop and secure, you're all good. But sometimes that's hard.
Oh, God. All right. Well, you know what? We're glad to know that we're surrounded by idiots, that we're not the only idiots out
every
here.
Every person has something.
People
I know
out there are just as dumb and useless as we are.
You've had 2 hours to figure it out.
I can't think of one. Might be my problem is that I can't think of what I'm bad at. Normal people can think of what they're bad at. I can't do it. I just can't do it. All right. What's next?
Hi, Softy. It's Dylan. Want to come over and play Star Wars dolls?
Yeah, baby.
I mean action figures. I mean collectibles.
Listen.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
I just think he's your best option. I mean, what do you want from me? You know, maybe in a month from now, Sam Heward's your best option.
Yeah, but right now
it's got to be Dylan Morris.
Yes.
I mean, if Dylan Morris goes out there and struggles, I don't think, and I'm totally with you, that the bulk of the offensive problems so far at UW start with the quarterback. That they start with the guys up front. And then they go to the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And then they go to the wide receivers. And then they go to the quarterback.
I agree.
How's that?
I agree. What is finally going to eclipse Dylan Morris? Well, that's the thing.
What do you mean?
He's here forever. Sam Heward's here forever.
Right.
What's finally going to – I mean, do the Huskies have to go through a prolonged losing streak and we have to suffer through Dylan Morris playing three crappy games in order to get Sam Heward to become the starter?
Well, hopefully they can win games, but win them 13-10, right? And then just win games with their defense and you make a move down the road. I think Sam Heward at some point during Dylan Morris's career or tenure at UW is going to pass him as the starting quarterback at Washington. I mean, don't you think that?
Yes, I do.
Right? Would we be pretty freaking surprised if Dylan Morris fought off Sam Heward for 4 years?
Well, if he did, Sam's going to leave by the end of next year, if that's the case.
All right, Kevin Harlan's going to join the radio show. Talk some NFL next on 950 KJR.
Tune in Sunday night for Game 1 of the preseason as the Kraken take the ice for the first time ever against the Vancouver